So now I would like to call up our speaker. So let's give a hand to our speaker. Okay, thank you. Okay, so just like I was saying earlier, okay, I did get a lot of I don't knows this week. So when you get a lot of I don't knows, then it ends up being someone has to do stuff. So you'll probably be seeing me up here a lot today. But kind of give you a little foreshadowing. That's why we have our ministry fair later on, so that we can get more people involved to participate in what we're doing. So it's not just all on me or on Pastor Barry or on our staff. We want everyone to be able to participate in what we're doing as a church, because there's some amazing stuff that God is doing in our church and in our community. So we want to invite people, and that's why we're going to be doing our ministry fair, just so that you guys can see the different opportunities that we have as a church to be able to serve. So like I said, this week is multi-gen. We got all the kids and we got all the adults all in one place. And I don't want everyone to always feel like it's just about the kids in multi-gen. It really is about our whole church family being able to be in one room and one place at one time. And that's one of the values of our church. You know, there's not a lot of opportunities out in the world for all the generations to come together in meaningful ways. There might be times where you interact with people, but it's not in a meaningful way. But our church, that's something that we value, that all the generations get an opportunity to interact with each other in meaningful ways. And so that's one reason that we are having this special multi-gen service on the last Sunday of the month instead of the first Sunday of the month. So, kids, you guys are in here, right? Yes, we're in here. And as part of our multi-gen service, we want to recognize that you guys are in here. And so we're going to try to make it interactive. We're going to try to make it fun. But we also need some help, because all the adults are in here and they want to hear what's going on too. So if you guys are paying attention, that's going to help everyone out. Okay? So we want you guys to be included. We want to have fun. But we also want to be respectful of... We got a lot of different people that are going to be coming up here today to share different testimonies. I mean, really, we could have called this Sunday Testimony Sunday. But it's multi-gen, so we're just going to keep it with that. Okay, so as part of multi-gen, we are going through a series called Be Lit. Can any of you guys remind me, what does it mean to be lit? Eliana. Living in the truth. Very good. Thank you, Eliana. So our series is Living in the Truth. Okay, living in the truth. Okay, so each week what we're doing as a part of this series is we are going to be talking about a specific truth in the Bible that the Lord wants us to live in. Okay, and not just to know in our head, but to actually live out in the world. Okay, and so I wanted to start off with a video to show us what it looks like when we are living in the truth. And this is actually from a parable that Jesus gave. So we're going to watch a little bit of a video right now.
Once upon a time, there were two builders. Both wanted to build a home, a safe, strong place for their families. One builder chose solid rock. The other? He picked soft sand, thinking it would be quick and easy. The first builder worked carefully, placing each stone with patience. He wanted a house that could last, no matter what came. The second builder rushed. He didn't think much about the future, storms, rain, or wind. He just wanted to finish quickly. And then the storms came. Rain poured, wind howled, waves crashed. The house on the rock stood firm, but the house on the sand shook, wobbled, and finally fell. Building on the rock wasn't easy. It took effort and care, but it was worth it. A strong foundation can weather any storm. Life is like this too. The choices we make, the values we follow, the love we give, they're our foundation. When challenges come, what we've built inside keeps us standing. So, what kind of builder will you be? Once upon a...
Okay. So in our video, this is actually from a parable that Jesus gave about two builders. One built his house on the rock, and one built his house on the sand. And one thing that happens in this story, that happens in all of our lives, difficult things happen. Difficult things happen in our lives. But what do we want our house to look like? Do we want our house to look like the builder that built his house on the rock, where it's still standing? Or do we want our house to look like the builder who built his house on the sand? So when my kids were in preschool, they used this story to talk about choices. What kind of choices are you going to make? So they would come home and say, I want to be like the builder that built his house on the rock. So I'm going to make rock choices, right? So whenever they would make a good choice, they would say, I made a rock choice today. And when they made a bad choice, they would say, oh man, I made a sand choice today. Okay? So today's truth that we're going to be talking about, that we want to live in, is that you were created to be a powerful person. You were created to be a powerful person. And so I want that imagery, powerful person, to be like a rock, right? To be like a rock. So when we are living in the truth, we're like the builder that built his house on the rock. So this week's truth, you are made to be a powerful person. Where do we know this? Where do we find this in the Bible? We find it right in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. It says this, Then God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Right? So I think there's a couple things in here that kind of stand out to me. One, male and female, he created them in his image. Right? So it's not just male he created in his image. It's not just female he created in his image. It's both. Right? So if you're a man, a woman, boy, girl, you were created in God's image. I don't know if you noticed, but I put a little bit of emphasis on one of the words in here. But if we look at verse 26, it says, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that. So that. When you hear that term, so that, what comes to mind? What comes to mind? There's purpose to it, right? There's purpose to it. Let me give you kids some examples. I want to see if you guys might have heard some of these things this week. Have you heard the term, go to bed early? I know I said that to my kids this week. I might have said that to them yesterday. But so would that change if they just said, go to bed early? And then they said, so that you'll have fun at Disneyland tomorrow. Right? What about this? Drink your milk. Does it change if they say, drink your milk so that you'll have strong bones and grow tall? Does that change? What about this? Wake up at 5 a.m. and run 17 miles. So that you can finish the marathon that you have coming up. Oh, wait, that's just what I was telling myself yesterday. So that makes a big difference, right? It makes a big difference. It tells us the purpose, right? So the purpose that God had for us as people was to rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock. The purpose for us was dominion. Ruling, power. So how did God expect us to do that if he wasn't going to give us if he wasn't going to make us powerful people? So when I was growing up, I was pretty small. I was pretty small, and I felt pretty powerless. So I would go throughout my life and just feel like I was pretty small. And this is a truth that changed a lot for me when we started to talk about being a powerful person. The characteristic that the Lord wants for us in order for us to rule is that we need to know that we are powerful people. So there's another verse that we've been talking about regularly at our church, and that's Romans 12:2. It says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." One of the patterns of this world is to think that you were not created in God's image and that you are not powerful. So when I was growing up and thinking that I was powerless, my perspective was that power is how strong I was, how big I was. But that's just the way that the world sees things. That's not the way that God sees things. That was the pattern of the world that I was conforming to. And God wanted to transform that. Another way that the world wants us to think and to see the world through is a victim mentality. Victim mentality. That's something, kids, you guys need to know what that is. Okay? So I looked it up. I used it through Google AI, and this is what it gave me. A victim mentality is this. It's a learned, persistent mindset where individuals feel powerless, and then they blame others for their misfortunes and believe life is consistently against them. What does this look like? Okay, kids, you guys might not remember this, but when you guys were little, something that I would hear a lot is, "He made me hit him. He made me do it." How many of you guys have ever said that? You guys should be raising your hands because I know all of you have said that. "He made me do it," right? This is a clear example of victim mentality, right? I'm not even powerful enough to control my own reaction or response. He made me do it, right? Some adults might remember some in the past, like TV shows. They might say something like, "The devil made me do it," right? What happens in that? It's showing something about ourselves. It's saying something about us, that we believe that we're powerless. Someone else has control. And that's a lie. That's a lie. And this series, we're talking about living in the truth. So the truth is, you are a powerful person because you were made in God's image. And the Bible clearly says that. So the question is, if that's how a victim thinks, how does a powerful person think? A powerful person thinks like this: I control what I'm able to control, and I don't try to control the things that I can't control. That's what a powerful person thinks like. So what are you able to control? When things don't go your way in your life, what are you able to control? What you do. Riley said what you do. Yes. We're able to control what we do. When something difficult happens in my life, I'm able to control myself. I'm able to control how I respond. I'm able to control myself. And so when each one of us recognizes that we have this type of control, it changes things in the world. It changes things in the world. Once we recognize this power, then we have to decide, what are we going to use this power for? What are we going to use our choices for? Because God has given us so much power. And he wants us to choose to use it in a certain way. So we've been going through this series on serving. And through this series, we've been talking about how God wants us to serve, right? And how God wants us to choose to use the power that he's given us to serve. Last week, Uncle Brett was the one that gave the message, and he talked about Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. And this is how Jesus shows us how he used his power, right? It says this: "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God," right? He's in nature God. He knows he has power. "He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage," right? He didn't want to use his power to control other people. That's not how he chose to use his power. Instead, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So he chose to use his power to serve others. To serve others. Right? He didn't choose the way of the victim. Right? He chose to use his power to serve others. Right? And then the verses after that says he actually chose to go to the cross. Right? He could have said, oh, the world's against me. They're trying to kill me. I'm a victim. But he knew that the way for him to fulfill the mission that he had to choose to go to the cross. So he used his power to make that choice. And people recognize when you make powerful choices. Okay. And so what I wanted to do this morning is we've been talking about how Sean has been coming on as a part of our multi-gen service team. And so I wanted Sean to have a little bit of power today. And I wanted to see how he was going to use his power. So I told him, Sean, you could do whatever you want for a section of this message. Here's kind of the theme of the message, but you could do whatever you want. And so I gave Sean the power to choose what he wanted to do. And it was really cool to me. It was really a blessing to me what he chose to do. He chose to use his power to highlight certain people in our church in the ways that they're serving. So Sean is going to come up and he's going to be interviewing a few different people that he wanted to highlight in the ways that they're choosing to use their power to serve other people at our church. So come on up, Sean. And then we'll give this to Okay, so Sean, the floor is yours.
Okay. Hi. I'm going to ask Gavin, Kai, Olivia, and Uncle Daniel to come up. And we're just going to host a little interview asking them about how they serve and how they live out their identity as servants. So, yeah, give a round of applause for them. Yeah. So first, you guys can introduce yourselves, like who are you, what you do, and what are some of the ways that you guys serve our church and also the communities around you guys?
My name is Kevin. I've been able to serve in kids ministry in the past. I think in Magnetic now, as other classmates, there are things we do. I've gone on a couple business trips to represent our church. And I think mainly for me right now, along with my siblings, I help lead our Christian club on campus. And we've been doing so for 3 years now. Just been doing that.
Hi, I'm Olivia. Once a month I serve in the den with the babies, including my daughter. And then once a month I'm in the youth room with the high schoolers and middle schoolers, along with serving on the First Fridays. And if you're youth and you haven't gone, you should really go.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and I serve, once a month with the kids in the kids' ministry. I'm also a small group leader. I like to say facilitator instead. And I serve in the deliverance ministry, so it's all really good. I haven't served in the community recently, so looking forward to later after church and seeing what's out there.
Sure. And then as we're talking about how we're powerful people, I wanted to ask you guys, like, what are some of your superpowers and God-given talents and strengths that have helped you to serve in your, those places?
I think for me, a big one would have to be adaptability. I think especially in serving, it's really big to have that. And I've been blessed that, God has given me that ability to do that. But, there's some things you run into that you don't necessarily plan for. But I think for me, it's like more comfortable for others than others that I'm able to kind of take initiative in that. Not to say like I always know what I'm doing, but it's just more comfortable for me to do that in that setting. So I think, yeah, that would be one of them for me.
I was having trouble with this question at first, and I asked my husband, what should I say? And he said, well, God made you really immature. But that did lead me to thinking. I'm always telling people, oh, I overshare too much, and I talk too much. And so I do say that I overshare a lot, but I was thinking about it this morning, and I think really it's vulnerability. And one of the reasons I think that's so important serving with anyone, really, but especially serving with a younger generation, is you want them to open up, you want them to be real, but how can you expect that if you're not being real yourself and setting that tone? So I really think having a strong identity in Christ has allowed me to be very vulnerable with anything that's going on and open to sharing it with other people.
So what strengths do we have? So going, okay, so for the kids ministry, I always did good with dogs and little kids. I mean, so there are no dogs that come to church, but the little kids, like when they're infants, if they're crying, I do pretty good with just calming them down. And I just thought, oh, okay, I can help out with the kids. And we just started with the young kids from like 2 and then now through 5th grade. And it's been so neat to just make connections with them, depending on where they're at. And I know you're going to talk about blessings later on, so I'll stop there. But okay, so that's children's ministry with small group facilitator. Yeah, I had a hard time because, like, yeah, what are you good at? And so this is from the motivational survey. And so this is what God says. This is not what I'm saying about myself. Okay. Enjoys discussion and brainstorming. Let's see, what else? Loves to see growth. In the deliverance ministry, I think it helps. This one, non-judgmental. So that was under encourager. And then for mercy, I just empathy and other lists, and I thought, oh yeah, I can kind of see that. I hope other people kind of feel that, but I think that helps.
And yeah, you guys have all these awesome strengths, but despite these strengths, whether you saw them or not before you started serving, were there any doubts that you had about serving or stepping into these roles that you guys have now?
I mean, yeah, I think specifically for Christian Club, for context, we stepped into it our sophomore year, and the thing was, like, we were the only 3 left, so me and my siblings were the only ones there, and really, it was the first time we ever stepped out in faith to serve, so the kind of analogy I have is, like, kind of just being thrown to the deep end. For the first couple months, that's how it felt to me. Just learning how to serve others and lead was something foreign that I began to learn how to do. But I mean, yeah, that was for sure a doubt if I could do it. I think, especially the first time I ever did it, I was super nervous. I honestly, like, was just scared to do it. But I think, you know, those doubts kind of helped me grow into, you know, the leader that I've become, but also just helping serve others more and that kind of relatability too. So for sure there's some doubts, but you know, God has helped me overcome them.
So I've shared this with a few people before. So when I was 19, I was really asking God, where do you want me to be used? Where do you want me to serve? And it's the only time I've ever heard him very audibly, because everything else has been like a small prompt, but this is very audible. And he was like, I want you to do small groups for high school girls. And I was like, no. And I think that's why it was audible, is because I was so resistant to it. So it was like a nagging feeling, and it was like, why? Like, I don't want to do that. But it was such a nagging feeling for months, so finally, I was like, fine, God. And so at my older church, I had signed up for just to check it out. And as soon as I went just to, like, do one of the sitting in the back checking out thing. As soon as the doors opened, God changed my heart instantly. And so it was a big doubt because I don't know, like, I didn't know at the time, like, why God would want me to do that. But it wasn't until, like, I took that step in obedience that God changed my heart and saw, like, the why. But, yeah, it was a huge doubt before I started.
So for a kids ministry, I didn't really have any doubts. I felt pretty comfortable going in there. For a small group leader, I don't know what happened because I never thought of myself as a leader, and I don't know how I... They asked, and I always thought I just didn't step backwards. but I think from there the doubt, it was helped by others. People, even before I thought about it, there was this one thing where you do prophetic things for within a small group, and somebody put leadership on a rock. I told them that. They don't know me. That's not me, right? Other people had encouraged me. The Lord encouraged me in different ways. And then when it happens, looking back, it's like, okay, I guess there's something here that I can stand on at least. For a deliverance ministry, I was excited. I wanted to see God move, but I didn't have any experience, and I didn't know much about the spiritual realm. I knew in here about God's power and his love. And so I was kind of like, oh, yeah, I think I want to do that. But I wasn't sure. And then as I was doing the training, I heard other people say, wait, you're doing what? Deliverance? It's like, you're opening yourself up to attacks by the enemy. And it's like, oh, I didn't think about that. So I think there were some doubts. I didn't know, but I just had a feeling I should pursue it a little bit more. Yeah.
So for you guys, what are some of the main ways that God has helped you grow and that you've been blessed by, you know, serving? Yeah, serving.
I think for blessings, I think the blessing just comes in being able to serve with others. I think building those relationships, like, as servants, I think is really huge. And it's been huge for me, too, just to help serve others, but also doing it with others, too. And I think, yeah, for growth, I think there's been a lot of growth I've seen myself. Yeah, I wouldn't say, like, I'm the most talkative guy, or I've been... Before, I had the, like, qualities of going up and leading, but I think these are things that God has grown me in me, even when I didn't realize it. So I think just talking to others and caring for others, that's just been something that has, you know, grown, and my heart has grown for that. So, yeah, a few things, but definitely the relationships and being able to do for others, but also, you know, serve with others.
I definitely feel like taking that step in faith to where God was prompting me to serve has really taught me to be obedient to God, knowing that he has something bigger planned than I can see. And so I feel like as I serve, it's always been a big blessing just how much God grows me in my trust in him. I think also there's a really special fellowship with who you're serving alongside with. It's really cool to... It's always good to fellowship with others, but to have, like, a shared goal, there's just always something special about that. And then specifically with Catalyst, I just wanted to say that it's been such a blessing just to be a part of serving with youth. Jerry and Brett have done such a great job with really empowering the youth themselves to serve and seeing how, at such a young age, God is using them. When I've served with youth in the past, it was about, like, being the one who help and being the one to serve them, but to actually serve alongside the youth even is a really great blessing. It's really cool just to see how Steph always says there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit, that God just uses anyone and everyone. So yeah, that's the biggest blessing to me.
So there's a bunch of blessings that, I mean, can it... All of what they said, I totally agree with. The people that you serve with, get to know people in the church at a deeper level is so good. With the kids ministry, the perspective of time, kind of, I've been helping out with kids ministry almost for 30 years, and so look at Brett and Dylan, and what, they're like 3 or 5 or something like that when I first started, and to see those guys, and then everybody else, you know, all the kids that have gone through that, you know, I've had opportunity to be there for a short while, to just to see their growth in this church and how they move and minister and go out and serve others. Just mind-blowing. Just, it's God, right? With small group, yeah, the relationships you build, the transparency, the humility that shows up when they're sharing at a deeper level, when walls break down, you do things together, you share life together, God shows up. And then deliverance ministry, man, if you want to see the power, if you want to see the power and authority, the peace and the joy of God, man, check it out. Be part of that or come and receive from that. It's amazing. If it's okay, I want to just share one thing. I when I first became part of the deliverance ministry, I was blown away just by people going in, and you know, you would see them coming in kind of afraid to what they might share or what might come to mind, and just like this, as they're answering and as it goes through, as they're connected with the Lord, you just see their whole body. When they feel the love of God, when they see him in different forms, they just loosen up, and then they connect with the Lord, and it's just so good. What I've learned, one of the things I learned, and there's so much, but so when I first started, it was great. We would finish, we would debrief, go home. For the first like 4 or 5 times, it was really good. And then afterwards, I would go home, go to sleep, have a nightmare. So whoever said spiritual warfare, there's spiritual warfare. I'd have nightmares, and then Linda would just try to wake me up, tap me, and I'd swing my arm and almost hit her. So I wasn't counting, but it happened 3 times in a row right after a session. And there's something that we do. I figured it out finally. I think it has something to do with this deliverance ministry thing. Took me a while. I'm kind of slow. So the next time, there's this stepping out prayer we do at the end where, you know, we receive the blood of Christ, that power that, you know, covers all sin, any defilement, anything, any enemy that had come off those that we had prayed. If we just pray for that to leave in Jesus' name by his power. And so I looked back. I don't think I took that so seriously before. But from then on, I took it very seriously. And I would close my eyes, and I would experience God's blood and his blessing. And it never happened again. It never happened again. So you see the power of God. It's just a blessing being there.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone, for sharing this, the different ways that you're choosing to serve and follow in Jesus' footsteps. You know, we all kind of innately know that we were created for to have some level of power, right? And if we don't feel like we have it, what do we try to do? We try to get it. We try to get it. And then when we try to get it and we get some, how do we use it? That's why it's important for us to live in the truth. That's why it's important for us to live in the truth and know that we are created in God's image, that we are powerful people already. Because then when we know that, we're able to live like Jesus. So I have someone else that's going to come share. Josiah is going to come share about her trip. She's just on an amazing trip. I've heard a few of the stories, but she wanted to share with everyone else some of the amazing things that the Lord did and the ways that she's chosen to use the gifts and the things that God has given her and the people that have supported her to be able to serve some amazing communities. So let's give it up for Josiah.
Hello? Oh, that's the one. Hi, my name's Josiah. I just want to say thank you to all who have supported, prayed for me, just been along the journey. The last 5 to 6 months, I've been with a missions organization called Circuit Riders, and our main goal is to reach high school and college students with the gospel, and specifically Gen Z, and also Gen Alpha. And it's been really cool to see so many so hungry for God. And God is doing such amazing things, like revival is happening. I don't know if anyone else has ever heard of these things. But what these events kind of look like is that we have a day one and a day two, and we have this event called Carry the Love. So usually we evangelize on day one, and we try to invite people out to the event, and then we have like a worship, and then a sermon, and the sermon has like the gospel in it, and then a time of like an altar call, and like a time to pray for other people. And then day two is kind of like a Bible study where we pray for people, and we also kind of train them in evangelism, and then we're off. So we're only there for 2 days, and we're pouring into any campus ministry that's been there and just pouring into the already Christian clubs that are on campus. So that could look like anywhere from like crew to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so it's really cool. We were in the Northeast region, so that's where my tour was. So I was in Maryland, Delaware, D.C., Massachusetts, New York, and Pennsylvania for most of my tour. And we're mainly on the road, and we go to different places and other stuff too. But God has been moving in such great ways. Some of the statistics of like what happened after tour, there's been 150 of us students. So we've had 25 teams go out to Europe, Mexico, the Philippines, and across America. And like crazy things that I've heard of the other team, like in Mexico, the cartel are getting saved, that in New York City, that people are leaving their drugs in front of the event at the altar, and they're repenting and giving their lives to Jesus. There was a juvenile detention center in New York City that literally was filled with murderers that gave their lives to Christ. And in the Philippines, like over like almost every event, 100 students were giving their lives to Christ. And so God is doing incredible things, not even just in America, but throughout the nations. And so there is about, for all 25 teams, 37,498 plus gathered, 4,767 saved and rededicated their lives to Christ. Come on to that. 171 healed and 41 baptized. And so from my tour team alone, there is 910 college students, 446 high school students, and 67 people gave their lives to Christ, 33 rededicated, and that's not including to the people who went out and evangelized the next day, those numbers that came out. And 373 people took action. So usually at our events, we have an opportunity for people to not just hear about the message, but to step out and do something about it. And so God has been doing great things, and I just feel like, while these are just numbers, but really, he'll leave the 99 to go after the one, because he cares about each and everyone's heart. And he meets people in such interesting and different ways. For me, my role on tour was to do slides. And so shout out to the slides team who's back there and everything. I am not tech savvy, so when I got assigned that role, I was like, oh no. but I know that's where I was called, where God wanted me to serve in that season. And so I learned how to do slides. And there are some times where I was like, wow, I wish I could, you know, maybe be where the main event is, because there's sometimes a side room where it's like the sound booth and stuff. But he wanted me to be there for a reason. And he made it very clear to me one night. We were at a public high school, and it wasn't even my night to do slides. I was kind of like, okay, I'll do it because no one else is going to do it. And so I did it that night, and I met these two high schoolers up there in the sound booth. They were helping me with sound and lighting. And I was just talking with them, getting to know them more, asking them questions about themselves. And then the event happens, and they're on their phones, and they're not paying attention. So I'm like, oh, like, what's your experience with church? What's going on? Like, how come you're not, like, I'm not asking them directly, but I'm trying to figure out why they're not paying attention. And I found out that they were hurt by the church and other things too, and that both of them were LGBTQ. And so I start, during this whole time while the event is happening and I'm doing slides, I start evangelizing to them. And I start sharing with them the gospel. And it was really cool because one of the girls, she just starts crying. And I just basically tell her that all the love, purpose, and significance you've been ever looking for can only be found through Jesus Christ. And she repents of her sin and gives her life to Christ at the end of the event. And it was so cool because in the day that I wasn't even supposed to serve, that I didn't even feel like, wow, I want to do this role, but I'm doing it because the Lord told me, he uses that moment to reach this one person. And it was one of the best conversations ever. And another event of like God using me in unexpected ways that I didn't even think of, we were snowed in because we were in winter, in the northeast winter region. So all of our events got canceled. So we're like, God, where do we go? Where do we go? And we went to a high school. So we joined this team to go to a public high school. And I was there, and this time I was on the prayer team. So I got to pray for whoever was coming. And this one girl was invited by one of her friends. And she never, ever been to church before, anything Christian before. She has no experience. And so she comes to this event, and we're probably the only two like Asian people in this room and other stuff too. And we're both women. And so she comes up to me, and she asks for prayer because her friend is doing the same thing too. And so her friend tells me she's never been to church. She doesn't know anything. And I start sharing her with the gospel, and she starts crying. And she starts sobbing, and she receives Jesus into her heart. And something that Circuit Rider says is like, yes, we could do cross-cultural missions, but also God made us in his image to be the face, like with our face, with the race, with the culture that we are, because sometimes to reach people that look like us too, because we can relate differently. And it's so cool because maybe she wouldn't have gone up if I wasn't there in that time for prayer, but he used me to be there to reach that one girl at that one high school. And another crazy story, I know, I like to share about these high school stories because they're so good. Also, college stories have been so amazing too. But another high school that just another crazy thing happened. We had one of our smallest events. It was like 40 students or so. And we were like, oh, this is kind of a small group and other things too. Well, 12 of them the next day did this thing during their lunchtime. They handed out 875 gospel cards. And their school was like about 900 something. And the first 3 hours, 6 people gave their lives to Christ. And then throughout the rest of the day, another 6. So the 12 went out to another 12. And what did we share with them? And our message, well, we just shared with them the gospel and the power of our testimony. And really, I think the more that we understand deeper the gospel and the power that it has, it can transform our lives. And we just talked about John 4, and we talked about the woman at the well, how she was rejected, she was shamed, how she was looking for other wells to fulfill her. But really, she didn't know that she needed living water. And these messages are both applicable to like Christians who've been saved for a long time and those who've never heard the gospel. And we talked about the different idols that we've had in our lives, about Thomas Aquinas talks about 4 idols, money, putting our security in what we have, recognition, putting our putting our value in what other people say about us, power and control, feeling like we have to control things. And the last one is comfort, and putting our value in what we have and the things like that we want to go for comforts. And we took a time to just like repent of those things. But this woman, what she did, she went back to the people after encountering Jesus's love and this living water. She went back into her town of people who rejected and shamed her. She became the first evangelist. That's been one of the longest recorded conversations in that Jesus had. And it's just so cool to see that this woman, she couldn't help but keep it inside what God had done in her life. And that is what we try to encourage, I guess, Gen Z with, is that when we meet Jesus, when we've encountered him, we can't help but keep it inside. We want to go out and tell people about it and not live lives of fear or passivity, but lives filled with action and taking action. And that looks like many different ways, starting a Bible study on your campus, or starting Christian clubs, or going out and evangelizing weekly, or being part of a local ministry. And so it's just been really cool to see, not only for them to hear the message, but then go out and respond and take action. And I'm just thankful for everyone that also supported me, and I'm grateful that like you guys given me the opportunity to speak and to pour into me too. And yeah, go out, serve, go into what God's gifted you to do. And yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Josiah. So it's just been amazing just to hear all the different testimonies of the ways that people have been choosing to take what the Lord has given them and to serve other people with it. And for you kids, if there's one thing that you guys want, I want you guys to take away from this morning, it's you're a powerful person. You have the ability to choose to control yourself. How you respond, how you react to different things is going to make a difference in the world. And it's going to point people to God. When you choose to take the power that you have to serve other people, it points to something different, to someone different. And that points to God. So when we live out this truth, when we're living in the truth that we're powerful people, and we make the choices, make the rock choices, right? We want to make rock choices. Make the rock choices to use that power to serve others. We point people to God. So I want to invite the worship team to come up. Someone else that I felt like the Lord put on my heart this morning to highlight is someone that I feel like she really is a good example of using what the Lord has given her to serve, and that's Ann Chen. And if you don't know Ann, like, she's been running with Team World Vision for years. Okay, and she'll even tell you she's not the biggest runner. She doesn't really like running all the time, but she uses it to serve people that are in need. And what Team World Vision does is they are building wells and providing water to people in countries that they don't have readily available water like we do. And so she does marathons and half marathons to raise money and support that. And that for me has been a real blessing, just to see Anne and her perseverance and dedication to get, I mean, there was one, I think, how many years was it every day you were running every day as part of it? Like, I think that she was up to like hundreds of days in a row of running every single day, and as part of this journey that the Lord's been having her on to serve others. And so that's been a real blessing to me as someone who runs regularly and who has to, you know, face the, I don't want to do it. I don't want to get up in the morning. I don't want to get out. I want to sit on my couch and watch TV. But she makes the choice each day to run, and she's using it to bring water to people that don't have water. So, Anne, you just really bless me all the time. So just wanted to highlight that. So even if it's that, kids, if you guys want to get out and, you know, just go run a mile and use that as a way to serve other people, that could be it too, right? So sometimes it's just these little choices that we make. It doesn't have to be something super huge. It doesn't have to be something super big. It could just be something really small. So let's close our time together as we lead into worship. God, we thank you that you are the type of God that is all powerful. You created the universe. You've created everything that we see. But you don't choose to use that power to control us. You've given us the opportunity to make choices for ourselves. And that's the type of God that you are. So we thank you for that. We thank you that you've modeled what rock choices look like, that you've chosen to use the power that you have, and you bless us with it. So we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for choosing the cross and that we get to celebrate what you did next week. So we ask that during this time that you prepare our hearts to be able to come to a place where we recognize who you are and we can respond and choose to respond with worship. So thank you, Jesus.